We're going to move to the last kina, and we're going to say a prayer at least on the kina for the Shoah. For the last few weeks, as we've gone through 3 weeks and building up to today, to Tisha B'Av, I've tried to work on this. We go through this every single year, and as all the amazing speakers have said before me, not sure how much justice I can do after every moment I said what they've said, but I'll try to just add a little bit. And I've been trying to work on how I can work on my 3 weeks, my Tisha B'Av, my morning, my evening. As we get older and we go through the same things every single year, it's a struggle we have with many different things. It gets sometimes easier and sometimes harder to conjure up the emotions that we're supposed to be conjuring, and many of the speakers have brought many wonderful ideas and helped us get there. But ultimately, I think Chazal enacted that we should have 3 weeks and have Tisha B'Av in order that we should really never forget. This forces us to focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what we're missing, what we're lacking. And for each person, what they're missing, what they're lacking may be different. I'd like to add maybe a little plug that if a person really wants to try to connect, maybe one of the ways that they can do so is simply through learning Tanakh, is simply through learning, for sure, but probably if they really want to connect to the Mikdash and Yirat, connect to the loss, they really should focus on Neviim Achronim, as difficult as they are. You may actually have the bonus of understanding many of the Rosh Yerim a little bit better. I know the Rav has told me that he goes through Tanakh once a year, which is incredible. But if you go through Yishai, Yirmiyahu, Yecheskel, Treyasar, and really understand and try to take the time, not just to translate, but to understand, it definitely gives you a sense, a much grander sense of the loss. It helps you understand your tefillah, your davening much better, and many of the kinos which are wrapped around many of the things that are said in Yishai Yirmiyahu are much more understandable, much more relatable. But for me, as I've said for the last number of years, I've kind of taken this kino upon myself, as my mother did when she was younger, to try to ensure that her parents documented and told as much of their stories as possible. And for me, the easiest connection for me to make and the easiest loss I have is through the Shoah. And therefore, I've made it my focus to try to focus on that loss and to try to bring some of the ideas forward. The afternoons of Tisha B'Av for the last number of years in my family, we've always shown my grandparents both recorded testimonials of their experiences during the Shoah through the Spielberg Foundation, through the Shoah Foundation. And last year, when I was preparing for that, as well through that, one of the discs, we still have discs, I don't even know if I can play them anymore, but we still have discs. I couldn't find one of them, of the five or six that were there. And so I did a search online to see if I could find, if I could recover it. And I found that one thing I didn't realize is that my grandmother's sister, my baby's sister, her name was Manya Horowitz, Malka Bas Sisalaya, Bas Tzvi Hershalevi, had also made a testimonial. And she was someone that I knew growing up. And she was someone that was always to me a very frail older lady. She was, depending on different accounts, somewhere between 7 and 10 years older than my grandmother. And someone that I knew that my grandmother was extremely close to and helped survive. But I never really, and I knew that her story was challenging, but I never really fully understood her story. And so when I found out that these were available, so I downloaded them and I spent the last week listening to 2.5 hours. And as Baruch Tannenbaum said earlier, sometimes these are not related to a number of 6 million, but related to a number of one. So today I'm going to dedicate this number of one. Her story was nothing less than brutal. From what I understood from my grandparents, they survived and they were able to, Baruch Hashem, get through 6 years of different camps, going from place to place. Nothing is ever easy, that's for sure, but they were able to always make a plan and escape and to survive, to really to survive. And what I learned about my Tanta Manya was that she wasn't so lucky. She, from the time that September 1st, 1939 is the day that the Nazis marched from Zechra and invaded Poland. And my grandmother's family, the Weitzman family, were Georgia Hasidim. I don't even know what type of Hasidus that is, but that's what they were. They lived in the city of Sosnowiec, which is Sosnowiec, as they called it, which was in southwestern Poland, not that far from the Czech and German borders. And their town was invaded right away, and ghettos were set up right away, and they lived for 2 years in ghetto. And from the time that they were in the ghetto, my great-grandfather was nifter right before this happened, so they only had a mother and 9 children, one of which was already married with children, and they soon perished. And their parents owned a grocery store, and there were people who tried to help. And my great-grandmother was immediately put in jail because she was caught giving out goods, baked goods, and other things to people, and she was put in jail. And so the children had to fend for themselves. And for 2 years in the ghetto, they did so. They hid in cellars, they hid in anywhere they could. They were all separated. Neither one knew where the next one was. And eventually, my Aunt Manya was sent to a number of different camps. She tells how the people there weren't treated like people. And all these things nowadays about all these liberal concepts about how people should be treated and given all these rights and privileges for everything they want to do. They were treated literally like dogs, worse than dogs. She was beaten. Her head was shaved. She was in the second camp that she was put in. She was given a choice at one point. They said that, it's easy to go to the gas chambers because it's over in 2 minutes, and everyone knew that. And maybe that, allowed them to, whatever, it was a terrible way to go. But the other alternative was to be hung. And to be hung was much, much worse. And they did this regularly, the Nazis did this regularly to make examples out of people. They hang people, and then they sit there and let them hang for days on end. And therefore, they were an example to everyone else that they should listen. At one point, one disgusting individual went up to my aunt and said, and a bunch of people said, go right now, put a noose in front of her head, go ahead and hang yourself. And at that point, with not having eaten anything of significance in 2 years, being beaten, of being just destroyed, of being just not being a human being anymore, the easy answer was just to go ahead and do it. And everyone else did. And for some reason, my aunt had special superhuman powers, whatever. She decided she wasn't going to. She had her head there, and she said, I should pull back. I'm not going to do this. And so they took her and brought her to Auschwitz. Just to give you an idea of some of this, a teensy tiny bit of suffering. Everyone's sitting here on the floor, on little chairs, on little stools, and we have to get up every few minutes because it's not very comfortable. Definitely very painful in certain areas. Describe the beds in the bunkers. You can't really call them beds. They were they're just a bunch of pile of straw with a wooden board on top of it. 3 sets of these on top of each other. There's no ladder. It's not like a bunk bed that your kids jump into and they can go with that ladder. They had to climb up and down, she said, like monkeys. And if you were unlucky enough to be on the bottom bunk, you were basically, the straw was soaking up the filth and the sewage and the water that was there, and you were basically sleeping in that. And that's how you lived every single day for 2, 3, 4 years. She was beaten to an inch of her life. She had scars and scratches and marks all over her body. She was blinded in one eye. She was violated. And yet, the amazing thing is that when the interviewer asked her, how did you go on? How did you get through this? She looks at her and she said, I spoke to God every day. I had belief that just like God took us out of Mitzrayim, and just like God has taken, given us all these miracles, these all years, he's going to get me through this. And for someone who's gone through that level of pain and torture, unbelievable, she lower than a rat. A month after she left, she was taken, she survived. After these, for some reason, she was sent to another camp called Ravensbrück, where she miraculously met my grandmother. When grandmother saw her, she almost fell to the floor because there was a skeleton in front of her who was weighed maybe 70 pounds, shaved, had no hair, nothing, did not look like a human being. But she grasped onto her Emunah B'Tochen HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's something that she said, I just wanted to say what she said at the end, that people should understand there are very, very few survivors left. There aren't that many. And I would encourage the children of the survivors that are left to be able to know enough about their parents to be able to tell, because we're getting to a point where the Shoah is becoming another story. There's, you know, we skipped over a whole bunch of keynotes about the Crusades and Tat-Tat and all the other pogroms that have happened over the last 1,000 years. And those are just stories to us now, and we don't really have connection. And we're a generation or two from that becoming reality for the Shoah as well. And I think it's important that we continue to personalize this and to make this part of us and to personalize the loss. All the stories that we heard about, all the great Gedolei Olam that previous speaker spoke about, these have to be continued to be spoken about. But she ended the interview, she said, I never got over it. Everything was gone in me, but I had to be me. I had to try to smile, but I don't smile inside, because they ruin me, they ruin my health, and it's inoperable, and it can't be repaired. Why was the Mikdash destroyed? We have all the different reasons. We have the cardinal three sins, we have Sinaskinon, as the Rav mentioned, there's an egg, there's a whole litany of different Averos, Shabbos, and all that. There's many, many reasons why the Mikdash was destroyed. There's many, many reasons why tragedies like the Shoah could have possibly happened. Ultimately, the one constant, the one common thread throughout all of them, is it's obvious that we forgot Hashem. You can't be Mechal Shabbos, you can't serve Avodah Zarah, and you can't have baseless hatred for your neighbor who wears a different colored shirt than you, or wears a kippah or doesn't wear a kippah than you, without recognizing that there's a Borei Olam. It's impossible. The reason we have no Mikdash today and the reason we had no Mikdash back then is because we forgot the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Everyone has to relate to that in their own way. Our avodah for today and our avodah for the coming weeks is to figure out a way to bring Hashem back into our lives. And it's so obvious that the 3 weeks leading up to Tisha B'Av is our way to try to remember that and to reconnect to Hashem. As we get up now, we move to Eilat Zion, and we move off of our chairs, it's past Atzos, off of the floor onto our chairs, and move on to the Nachem and the Nechama. Let's all take the rest of the day to be able to, and the time that we have, to be able to connect. So as we get 3 weeks from now to Elul, and we're Melech Basada, and Hashem is there with us, we can make that connection. Use Elo wisely, do the tshuva we're supposed to do to be able to come to Yom Narayim in front of the Malach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Bezrat Hashem, not have to go through the suffering ever again. And when Shlomo Weiss comes to us next year to be able to put together a program for Tisha B'Av, it's going to be because he's going to be on the welcoming committee for Mashiach Tzidkenu. Rebuild it.